Welcome, listeners. You are listening to the podcast I Utterly Can't. Today we are covering a story that's been all over the news recently. Mm-hmm. I first heard about this on the evilness that is TikTok, or so the government says. I've taken quotes and information from a few different news outlets about this case, and this is a very triggering story for us good mothers out there.
Maybe a few fathers listen to.
Yes. I know that there's some people that don't like trigger warnings, but I feel the need as a mother myself to put this in here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And given the story, I fully support it. Well, I definitely don't condone violence to children. I think sometimes we have to speak out about these stories so that people know what to look for.
Yep. So Crystal Candelario has been deemed by many of being one of this year's worst human beings. And I highly agree to that statement.
Agree. 100% agree.
She's not the only mother to deprive her children this year, but in this instance, she's not getting any sympathy from anyone, especially me.
Or me.
And Jen.
No, definitely not me. Mm-mm.
Now, the reasoning behind her actions that have led to her being sentenced to life in prison will put a vice grip on your heartstrings. 16-month-old baby girl Jaylynn Candelario was left by her mother for 10 days alone in a playpen. 10 motherfucking days.
You know, it's funny. Like, our daughters are teenagers. And I don't know about you, but I still bother my teenager to check on her all the time. Like, she'll be in her room, and she'll be watching TV, and she'll be like, get out, Mom, get out. And I'm like, dude, I want to check on you. I want to hold you like the baby you are. I can't imagine leaving my child for 10 days.
No. Well, I mean, my daughter will go up in her bedroom, and she'll be up there, quiet and coloring or whatever she's doing up there. And after like an hour and a half, I'll go, Reva. And she'll go, what? What are you doing? You know, I mean, like, she's 14 years old, but anyway.
Yeah.
So her mother had left on vacation to go with her now ex-boyfriend to Detroit and Puerto Rico.
Hell.
And she had planned this trip for months.
Okay, Casey Anthony.
Prior. Mind you, neighbors stated that she left her daughter home alone often, and yet it wasn't something they felt that they should report.
Why?
I don't fucking know.
If you know she's leaving a baby alone, which, I'm sorry, to me, even a four-year-old, that's baby. You don't leave a baby alone to fend for themselves.
No, I understand that. The whole fear of having someone call CPS on you and possibly losing your child. I've had that threat before. But, and I understand that people are wanting to keep children out of foster care and in the homes of family. But in this case, the neighbors who have heard this poor baby on numerous occasions crying and screaming are just about as guilty, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hearing a child screaming and you don't hear a parent there to console them, why aren't you calling for help?
Yeah, yeah. Jaylynn's mother claimed she had been mentally unstable and had been hospitalized in January and February of 2023.
Mm-hmm, boo-hoo.
Her reason for the trip, quote, it was a decision that was actually made many months before. I was in the hospital in January and February 2023 because I had emotional and mental problems. Mm-hmm. On one of those two occasions, I wanted to make an attempt on my own life. And for that reason, I was in the hospital without being able to walk for exactly almost 2 weeks. And in the month of March, I mean, my now ex-boyfriend and I wanted to take a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
She stated, the answer is a bit difficult for the rest of the world to understand, and in particular for people who question and point out that I have committed a diabolical act. You fucking did.
Absolutely. Like, okay, I understand being a parent is not for the weak. Okay. Also, I want to know, who is in her life that could have been taking responsibility for her? If she was, if she's mentally ill, there's somebody that could have been helping her. Why was nobody helping this woman? Why was nobody taking this child sooner?
Exactly. She goes on to say, as mentioned in court, I had gave my testimony. I took the blame for my actions. I was experiencing emotional stress, explaining she had been experiencing relationship issues with the her daughter's father.
Okay.
Scummy, that's what I'm going to call her, insisted that, quote, my daughters have always been everything, my whole world to me. Fuck you. No, they haven't.
But they weren't.
Nope. And assured that Jalen is always in my heart and is with me wherever I go. Not to fucking Puerto Rico, apparently.
Apparently she's everywhere but where you are.
No. Notice how she said daughters.
She has more than one.
She had a daughter aged 7 who was placed in the care of her parents, and they were traveling and never knew their daughter was leaving on vacation. She said, quote, they never knew that I had gone to Puerto Rico. They thought I was at home or that I was with Jalen, maybe somewhere else, in another city. The only thing I told them was, go at ease. I'm going to stay here with Jalen. She told them she wasn't up to doing anything during the vacation time. That was all I told them, she said.
Okay. So she lied.
Yeah.
Yep. That's great. Just, yeah. Okay. So clearly it shows that this wasn't just, I'm mentally ill. You literally planned this out. You had an opportunity to tell your family to take this baby so that this baby would be safe. And you chose not to take that option.
Yeah. Oh,
this was a decision.
Fully aware. 100%. She can't take the mental instability route.
No.
Because she was fully aware of her actions.
And apparently they were concerned because why else would she have to tell them everything was okay if they didn't think there was a possible problem?
Right. Then she has the nerve to say this after coming home to find her daughter, obviously, unresponsive. That's when my world fell apart. Not because maybe I was thinking about going to prison. That's the least important thing. Because one is an adult and one can accept one's own mistakes.
That is not a mistake.
No. I was in despair. I felt she could be saved. Things didn't have to happen that way because my daughter was doing well. I always took care of her.
Apparently not. And if you left her alone before, apparently not.
She said that when she left, the day that she left, she grabbed a few things and just left as if someone was chasing her.
Even if
that's how she felt,
you sacrificed yourself for your children.
Yeah. Like I mentioned in the message that I sent to you earlier today, I want to hit this motherfucking woman with my vehicle as many fucking days that she left that child alone. And I can guarantee you it wasn't just the 10 days that this poor baby suffered.
So ridiculous.
She said, quote, there's so much pain that I have in regards to the loss of my baby, and that every day I ask forgiveness from God and from my daughter, Jalen. Well, they might provide forgiveness for you, but I don't know if part of the country is going to ever forgive what a terrible person you are.
I don't understand. Okay, I don't understand. It sounds like the crap Lori Vallow spouted out when she was being sentenced about, my kids are happy. They're dead, but they're happy. Like,
yeah.
I know, you still took away a life. Like, there is no forgiveness if you hurt a child. There is no forgiveness, I believe, in this world or the next if you harm a child.
Right. So I put in my notes, if you took care of her always, then why the fuck did you leave her?
Exactly. Exactly.
So when authorities found Jalen, they declared her dead after finding her in a playpen surrounded by feces and urine. wrapped up in dirty blankets and extremely dehydrated. Poor little Jaylen had lost a third of her weight during her mother's absence. The prosecution showed photos of Scummy smiling and happy on her trip. They also played the heart-wrenching Ring doorbell footage of baby Jaylen screaming for more than 2 days after being left in the house all alone.
How did nobody think to step in?
It makes me wonder how neighbors couldn't have heard her screaming and crying for that long. Like, I don't know where this scummy, terrible person lived or how close her neighbors were, but if they knew that she had been left alone prior, and then it's, you know, 4 or 5 days and you haven't seen that person going in and out of their house, wouldn't you question something?
Mm-hmm.
The thing too,
she knew she did something wrong because before emergency responders came, she already put the baby in a clean outfit. She already knew she fucked up. So she wanted to cover up the fact that she fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not only that, she, I lost my train of thought. I was going to mention something, but no, that's okay. Anyway, the judge had this to say to her, and I fully support everything he said. Through her actions, she committed the ultimate act of betrayal, mm-hmm. leaving your baby terrified, alone, unprotected, to suffer what I have heard was the most gruesome death imaginable. I can't even speak now because I'm so upset. With no food and no water, he said. The evidence that I've witnessed here before this court shows that this time you simply chose not to be here because you wanted to have fun. You decided you needed a vacation, and what followed was absolute depravity.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, just as you didn't let Jaylen out of her confinement until she died, you should spend the rest of your life in a cell without freedom. The only difference is you will be given food and water. She has been sentenced to life in prison, obviously, without a possibility of parole. But not only did her selfishness leave her youngest child to suffer and then die, she now has left her 7-year-old child motherless as well.
Exactly. Well, and this is the part that really stuck in my head too, is I'm looking at the CNN article and the judge actually said that little baby persevered, waiting for someone to save her. And you could have done that with a simple phone call. Instead, I see photos of you on a beach while your child was eating her own feces in an attempt to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now I remember what I was going to say. She said that while she was on her trip, her friends were asking her, Crystal, what's wrong? You don't seem like yourself. And then she goes on to say that, you know, she thought about calling her parents and telling them, but she never did.
This is ridiculous.
It's like, you know, mental health, I get it. It is a serious issue. It's a problem. You know, my father had some serious, severe mental issues towards the end, and it saddens me every day. But if you're that fucked up in the head to where you're putting your child's life at risk, get rid of them. Give them to somebody else. Put them up for adoption, give them to your parents, find a different family member, put them somewhere safe to where you can't physically or emotionally hurt them until you are capable to get your shit to fucking together.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you are not mentally stable to keep your priorities in line, and don't get me wrong, I'm fucked up in the head. I've had a lot going on this year that has really messed me up. Mm-hmm. But I would never, ever do anything to hurt my children.
And that's what, okay, like, I can understand that. I had severe postpartum with Journey to the point, like, mm-hmm. I just wanted to run away. Like, but my daughter was always safe. When I couldn't take care of her because I was not in a mental place to do it, I made sure she was with my family if I had to, you know, take a break. My mother has been with her every day of her life so that I could work and so I can sleep for work, because I have a child who has severe ADHD and she doesn't sleep unless she's mm-hmm. medicated, and she couldn't be medicated till she was like 6 or 7. So I had a child who was up almost 24 hours a day. There's no way a single mom could have done that. So I made sure that I kept her safely with family. Mm-hmm. I found myself in a position being a single mother I never thought I would be in, because this wasn't a choice I made for myself. Journey was not conceived willingly. I very vocal about that. My daughter was not, it wasn't what she would think it was.
Right.
But I made the choice to keep my child because I wanted to be a mother. And although it was difficult, you still make sure that that child is cared for, because if you take on the responsibility of bringing the child into the world, it is your job to make sure that child can stay in this world.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that in the course of the last, I don't know how many, at least 5 years at the least, mm-hmm. it has been way, way more women that are hurting and, you know, killing their children. There was another mom this year that I read about that beat her 2-year-old daughter to death.
There's no need for this.
It's like, what? Why? What? She was 2.
Exactly. I don't understand, especially as a mother. You grow that child inside of your body for 9 months. Sometimes less, but for 9 months, you grow that child inside of your body. You push that child out of your body in extreme pain and duress. How do you not mm-hmm. love that child enough to keep them alive? How do you do something like this to a precious human life that you created? That child was with you to hearing your heartbeat. That's the only person who knows your heartbeat from the inside of your body. How could you do that?
That the thing about children and mothers is that it goes for fathers too, but it's more so with mothers, in my opinion, is that that child literally has your blood running through it.
Mm-hmm.
Your skin cells, your, you know, everything that you have is what is made up of that child now, because it literally took from you to become a person.
Right.
The only thing that the male, and I guess in my opinion, provided is the fertilization and some of the DNA to make that egg become a child.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that it becomes after fertilization and it begins to grow is all because of the mom.
Yeah.
And so how
most of the work, while there are wonderful dads out there who do everything they can for their kids.
Oh yeah.
Being a mom is almost all of the work.
Mm-hmm. Especially really in the first year, at least.
Oh yes. And if you breastfeed, oh my God, you're literally feeding your child from your body. Like your mm-hmm. child's literally surviving off of your body.
I went 6 months with Araba and 4 months with Alistair. So, I mean, I
did a Journey for 3 because my body just gave out. It was like, we can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, still.
I don't know how. I guess because we are good mothers and we're in such a mental health headspace that our children are literally our entire world.
Oh,
we would do absolutely anything. Like, we would give our last fucking breath
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they survive.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have other mothers that just, they say stuff like that, but they don't mean it. They don't know what that means.
Exactly. Exactly. It is beyond me. Like I said, I struggled with mental health after Jordan was born because I didn't want to be a mother at the time I was. Yes, I made the conscious choice to continue my pregnancy. I made that choice. So I realized it was my responsibility to make sure that she was always okay. Every time a child has been in the hospital, I have dropped everything to be with her, be by her side 24 hours a day. If my child needs me, I don't care where I am. I will drop anything to go be with her. Mm-hmm. So I even risked losing a job I had just started because she broke her nose and had to go to the hospital. I was there because, you know what? Jobs are a dime a dozen. You can always find a job. Your child is not replaceable. You can always find a new boyfriend. Your child is not replaceable. Not at all.
There's so many men, women, couples out there that would have gladly taken Jaylen off her hands.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Or that have lost their children to miscarriages or SIDS or, you know, I mean, other issues to where, you know, they don't live past, you know, 2-3 months, or sometimes they don't live past 2 years old.
Yeah.
This perfectly happy, wonderful baby was...
I lost a baby 11 years ago this month. I will have lost Journey's younger sister. I had a miscarriage at 3 months pregnant, and I would give anything for my child to still be here. Anything. Mm-hmm. There's not a day that goes by I don't remember that I'm still a mother of two.
Right. Yeah.
For somebody to just so flagrantly disregard that blessing that they have of having a live child. I never heard my child laugh. I never heard her cry. I would not have wanted a vacation from my child. I still don't want a vacation from Journey, and I've been a mom for 14 years now. Like, if I go anywhere, I want her to go with me. I've never even taken a vacation without her. More than like a night or two away from her at a time. Right. Like, I'll never go for more than 2 nights for my daughter, ever. I did that once when I moved to Las Vegas because I had to come out here ahead of everybody and work a job for a month before they got here. And that was the hardest time of my entire life. I was getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning so that I could video chat with her before school. I was running away from my desk at 1 o'clock so I could talk to her when she got home from school. Like, I could not leave her, even though I was not physically in the same state as her. I could not see her every day. So how this woman could go away and go out of the country, even out of the continental U.S. without knowing her child's safe.
I don't know. I don't, like I said, her mental health is not an excuse.
And if she is that mentally incompetent, then what the hell are the people around her doing? The people around her also need to be held responsible for not taking care of those kids, that child. Your neighbors hear that child screaming. They didn't bang on the door. They didn't call the cops. Because if I heard that from my neighbors next door, I'd be the first one freaking calling the cops.
Mm-hmm. There, I was telling my coworker Faye about this story today, and she said that near where she lives, there have been kids, one about the same age as, you know, Alistair or what Jaylen would have been,
right.
And he's out in a diaper with no shoes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I told her, I said, you know, she's like, I'm almost ready to go over there and talk to the mom. I said, I wouldn't. I said, I would just call CPS.
Yeah, I would too.
I said, because that's child endangerment. I said, it's too cold outside right now. Mm-hmm. I said, even today.
Especially where you are.
Yeah. Well, and today it was like almost in the 50s, right? Mm-hmm. That's still too cold to be outside with no pants on. Yeah. At the age of 2 and no shoes.
Right. Well, and I'm going to be honest, I regret not calling CPS on my former neighbors that we had next door, because I used to see that child, their little one, would come outside without an adult all the time with just a diaper on, no shoes, a dirty diaper at that. The child never looked clean. I knew the kids were sleeping on the floor in the dining room because the parents took all the rooms. Like, I knew there was some stuff going on, but I really regretted it a few weeks ago when they're still trying to rehab the apartment from the damage they did to it. And I watched them pulling all the doors out do you know every one of the doors had been kicked in? Like, there's holes smashed in every door. When I saw that, it made me cringe inside and hope that those kids are safe.
Yeah, I don't let my kids go outside without me. Especially now that our dog is gone.
Right.
But I know Areva sometimes will go out. I mean, and she's 14, so. But I tell her she has to stay in the backyard, and she can only be out for like 20 minutes. And I always go and check on her. Because no matter where you're living, it can be a town of two people, or it can be a big city of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. But there's still sex trafficking everywhere, and somebody could just roll up and take that fucking kid.
Yeah. And you never know, even if you're, if you look at a sex offender registry list near you, you will be surprised how close they are to you.
Oh, I know, it scares the fuck out of me.
And that's only the people they've caught. Do you know how many people are out there that haven't been caught, who have never been reported?
Yeah, there was a video from that Don't Cross a Gay Man that I sent you. He did a video where he was, I think, at a coffee shop waiting to get coffee. And there was a guy standing in front of him, literally looking at child porn on his phone. And he confronted him about it. And then he, I'm not doing anything. I'm, you know. And it's like, okay, that guy should have had the cops called on him.
Absolutely.
Because that's fucking disgusting.
I agree. There's, and it's not even just that, like, women like this, who knows how many women are like this out in the world that are not looking after their children, that are not even concerned with their children's well-being.
Oh, I can guarantee there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
This honestly scares me to death, because as a mother, I would never harm my child, but I also want to be an adult that all the kids feel safe with. And I don't want to see a child harmed.
Right.
Like, I totally don't.
When I lived in the trailer park before I met Alonzo and before we moved and stuff, we had a lot of kids that ran around and played over in my yard, because my yard happened to be the biggest one in the trailer court. And so they'd always come over and play in that area, because there was, that was, had the most room. And if they were doing something wrong, I was out there yelling at them. Did I ever hear their parents yelling at them? No.
No.
If it was really hot out, I was the one that was out there handing out popsicles to the neighborhood kids. Were their parents doing that? No. Were they making sure that they were okay? No. I became the trailer park mom of these kids that weren't mine, because I wanted them to, one, be respectful and be raised up correctly, even if I had to have a tiny play in that. And two, I wanted them to know what a good parent looks like.
Yeah. And that's important. It is so important for the kids to see that. Like, no, it's...
They need to know that their bad actions have consequences, and their good actions will have rewards. And a lot of the time, that doesn't happen. And it's really sad, especially around where I live. So anyway.
Yep, I get it. We knew this was going to be a difficult one for us. We did know that.
Yeah, well, and that's because we're moms and we can't handle these kind of stories very well, but we have to tell them too. So
I just hope people like that. I just hope people that hurt children, especially children, I hope when they die, if there is a hell, they go to hell and they're spit roasted like a rotisserie chicken. That's my hope
for eternity.
For eternity, if not longer, because, you know, it's unthinkable to hurt a child. An adult is still wrong, but a child who hasn't had time to live their life or experience or been given that ability, they deserve to, you know, those, every child deserves to grow up. Every person deserves to live to a ripe old age.
A toddler at that, someone who can't hardly talk, who can't, you know, fend for themselves, can't cook, can't clean, can't, you know, hardly do anything. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, be potty trained. I mean, maybe there is some that are potty trained by 1 year old or two, but
yeah,
a toddler is called a toddler for a reason, because they literally toddle around because they're still figuring out to move their fucking limbs.
And just going back to like even the Chad Daybell trial, because I am going to be watching this with bated breath because, you know, like I said before, during our episode about the doomsday cult bomb, I feel drawn to it because I used to live in Rexburg, but also because I have a special needs child. And one of those kids was a special needs child that was killed. Mm-hmm. I go back to it. If you don't want your kids, if you don't want to be responsible for them, give them to somebody who does. Guaranteed, you can probably find 5 people in your life that would be willing to take the child. If not, surrender them to the local authorities. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like we always say, don't murder somebody, just get the damn divorce, pay for the damn divorce. Don't harm a child. If you don't want to be a parent, you don't want to take care of your kids, reach out to the police. Don't neglect them, don't harm them, and don't let anyone else harm them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty sad that a lot of fire departments have special boxes now for
babies,
women to drop off babies.
Babies. Yeah. It's ridiculous to me. I mean, hey, I struggle to make ends meet. I'm a single mom, but you know what? I'll take on more babies if I have to. Mm-hmm. I will absolutely take on babies. I'll take your babies. I'll take their babies. I'll take the person on the street's babies. If the babies need to be safe, I'll take care of them. We're good. I'll work 4 jobs. We're okay. I might never get to see them, but I'm saying, like, yeah.
Well, and the podcast would die, but, you know, yeah, it'd be worth it.
Unless we do like a GoFundMe support Jen's kids. Yeah. Or Patreon just to support my kids.
Yeah. Well, they can join the Patreon anyway. Mm-hmm. Ah, good segue. Not very good at those, but that was a good one.
That was a good one. That's why I threw it out there.
So join our Patreon, everybody. Or join our Facebook group, or, you know, follow us on Twitter. Yeah. Instagram, any of the socials. Yeah, we're there.
So. We're everywhere, annoyingly so.
Mm-hmm. And with that,
and we're cutting the episode short because I have to go to Schmapro very, very quickly today. So with that, everybody, we will say
bye.
Lads, do you enjoy getting traumatized on a weekly basis? Well, neither does my co-host Neil.
People call me a victim more than a co-host.
Anyway, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast. I'm your host, Megan. Each week, we dive into some truly dark and disturbing cases. Do you ever find yourself listening to these horrific tales and saying to yourself,
huh? No. Huh? What the actual f***? Why? Why did he do that? Solved it, mate. There's no need for that. They're just acting the f***.
Our episodes include cases of serial killers, the story of a socialite that was held captive for 25 years, prison riots, wrongful executions, and scandals in the death industry. At the end of each episode, we throw in a tale of oddity. Anything from medical mishaps to the real-life Weekend at Bernie's or Mike the Headless Chicken. New episodes every Wednesday. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember, here at the Mortal Musings podcast, we like to take the cases seriously, but not ourselves. We'll be right back.